Today on episode number 413 of the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, we've got an interview with Joe Saul-Sehy from the Stacking Benjamins podcast. We're going to talk a lot about chemistry and content today. And I've got in the podcast rewind a power of podcasting story that stopped me dead in my tracks. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your very own personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you. And I mean, like, really, like, not just thank you, but like, really, like, thank you for tuning in. I don't know what it is today. I want you to know I really appreciate you tuning in. If you're new to the show, we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to gear to promoting, promotion, all points in between. I bring my 20 plus years of technical training to the microphone. We flatten the learning curve and we get you on the path of pain-free podcasting. And if you'd like to join in on the conversation, go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/contact. Everything we talk about today, and there are a lot of links, you can find at schoolofpodcasting.com/413.
In case you missed it,
it's time for a podcast rewind.
All right, in this podcast rewind, we're talking a little online marketing and communications, one of my favorite podcasts with John Biscal, who's been on this show. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/408, you can hear John. And I want to, this is kind of a podcast rewind slash power of podcasting. I was listening to John's show, Online Marketing and Communications. You can find it at Jontus, that's J-O-N-T-U-S, media.com. And John explained that he was listening to Joe Polizzi's book, Epic Content Marketing, and he listened to it and immediately turned around and listened to it again. Here's the power of podcasting. I consider John a friend. I trust John. I've spoken to him. He's just a great guy. And when my friend John said, this book was so good that I turned around and listened to it again immediately, I stopped the episode. Didn't even hear the rest. I think I was, 7 minutes maybe into the episode. I hear John go, man, this book is so good. I had to listen to it twice. I stopped dead in my tracks, stopped the podcast app, went to Audible and bought the book. And it's just, now I'm still not done with it, but just the first chapter, this is a book. I'll say this. I have it as an audiobook. I can tell you right now, I'm going to buy the Kindle book, because I'm putting chapters and bookmarks in this. Here's a little one that I just was like, wow, this is pretty cool. It's just very straightforward.
Do you want to know the secret? Here it is. Your customers don't care about you, your products, or your services. They care about themselves. Before you go any farther in this audiobook, you have to accept this truth as the first step. Most of us feel we have something wonderful and revolutionary to offer people, but we really don't.
Whoa, that is some pretty insane. Straight to the point, though. And I always say, think about things through the ears of your customer. So I was listening to John's interview of Joe, and here's a quick clip from that.
I want a little thing as part of that editorial calendar on the outside and say, well, what need are we filling? Specifically, what does this post, this blog post, what need does it fill for our target audience? And we need to be aware of what that is. If we're not answering that question, we've got a problem.
We got a problem. So if you want to, if you just remember schoolofpodcasting.com/413, this is episode 413, and all of the links to John's episode, John's website, as well as the actual book, you can get it at Amazon. And I don't really do this a whole lot. If you go to audibletrial.com/Dave, you can get the book for free if you don't have an Audible account. And it's a way to support the show. I actually get a little kickback from that. But I'm right now through, I think I'm through chapter one, and this is going to be one of those books that I'm just going to chew on probably for the rest of this weekend, because it's just got very, from what I've heard at this point, just very common sense stuff. But man, sometimes if you're a football player, sometimes it's good to go back and study the fundamentals. If you're any kind of sport, go back, study the fundamentals, because we need to every now and then. And in this case, it's about what kind of content does your audience want to hear? And I'm sure he's going to talk about identifying your audience and things of that nature. But good stuff. The Power of Podcasting made me buy this book because of John Biscoe's influence on me as a friend and as somebody who puts out phenomenal content. And now I'm telling you about it. So this is what we talk about. We talk about wow content. So think about this. Let's dissect what I just did. Now, who looks like the expert here? Well, I don't know. John Biscoe, I think. He's the one that made great content, put it out on his podcast. Now, I'm telling you about it, so you're kind of like, oh, wow, Dave, thanks so much for telling me about this book that I might go buy. I'm putting money on my buddy Eric K. Johnson, the podcast talent coach. I'm putting big money on. He's probably going to buy it. And he's going to say, hey, Dave, thanks for telling me about that book. But you know what else he's going to do? He's probably going to go listen to John's podcast, if he isn't already. And so you are seen as a helpful person. And when you make wow content that other people talk about, yes, you might say, Dave, thanks for playing that clip. Sounds cool. I'm going to go check it out. I'm glad you let me know. Here's something that's worth listening to. But also, it trickles up to John. So when you make wow content that other people then share your content, sure, they're going to be seen as wow. Thank you for sharing this with your audience. But also, it's going to trickle up to the person that you were saying you should go listen to that. So when you make wow content that other people want to share, that is how you grow your audience. And that is called epic content marketing. And again, I'll have links to that out at schoolofpodcasting.com/413. All right, and today's big topic is charisma. And if you're thinking of doing a podcast with a co-host, then this will definitely fit you. If not, I think you're still going to find it because we talk a lot here about content. We had the clip here today about epic content. Joe and I are going to talk about how the content of the early morning television. Now, here's the interesting thing. Last week, we talked with Christopher from the Trek.fm who had a history. He had, I guess that's the best way to say it. He had experience in the magazine world. Joe comes to us from the world of morning television. And he actually found a really good book and said, hey, Dave, I just read this book. There's a lot of really cool stuff that I think would pertain to podcasting. And I'm like, cool. Went out to Audible, got the book, and listened to it. It was like, Joe, got to have you on the show. So I first heard about Joe from Steve Stewart, who does the Money Plan SOS show at moneyplansos.com. And he talked about one of his favorite shows was Stacking Benjamins. And here's some of the titles of Stacking Benjamins. It's a basically a show about where you earn, save, and spend with a plan. Hence, in this case, Benjamin being the president on the $100 bill. But here are some of his titles. It Isn't My Fault I Stink with Money. Avoid This Big Financial Planning Mistake. The Simple Secret Behind Successfully Managing Your Investments. Even More Stock Market Lessons. June Grow Your Dough Update. Grow Your Dough, baby. And he is the former WXYZ television money man. Raised two kids, been in debt up to my eyeballs, climbed out, built and sold a business managing over $60 million for 150 families. I'm a dad, geek, and worrier. Expect ramblings about financial planning, motivation, earning money, and running marathons. I'm interested in growing my net worth, working whenever I choose, and seeing the world. If you're interested in that, check him out at stackingbenjamins.com. And I'm glad he came on the show. Here's my conversation with Joe. Joe, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot. I got to tell you, Dave, that I love School of Podcasting, and I've been listening for quite a while, and I've always just been kind of lurking, but you guys have taught me so much. And finally, I thought last week, you know, I actually have something that I might be able to contribute to the community. And so I immediately wrote you and said, hey, let's talk. And I'm glad that you allowed me to talk about this.
Yeah, Joe sent me an email and was explaining how kind of what got us going on this. And this is where we say like-minded people kind of join together. And a lot of the stuff that I'm sure that I'm interested in, Joe is interested in, And he mentioned that he was reading this book called Top of the Morning by Brian, is it Stelter?
I think it's Stelter, yeah.
Yeah, Stelter. And which is cool because you can get it on audible.com. So I listened to it over the last 3 days. And it's about the Today Show versus Good Morning America and all the other TV shows that go on in the morning. And you kind of said, hey, you know, I know this is morning TV stuff, but I really think there's a lot of stuff here for, you know, podcasters. And then the cherry on the top said, oh, by the way, I spent 9 years on Detroit's number one local morning. Was it like a morning zoo kind of thing?
No, it was the TV show. It was the morning news.
So okay.
Okay, I'm going to stop myself right there. And the other thing you might notice here, I've turned all the bass off my microphone so that you can tell when I'm commenting on the interview and when I'm not. So I have this kind of AM radio thing going on. I just want to say to myself, a nice show prep, Dave.
This, I was on the show that was on before Good Morning America on Detroit and WXYZ.
Well, that's awesome. And that's actually what we're going to talk about today is just, I guess we'll reclassify as show construction or show prep or how, what would you describe it as?
I think a lot of people spend a lot of time thinking about the equipment that they need. Mm-hmm. They think about getting sexy guests on the show, right? And having those people contribute to their show. But they don't think a lot about how I set my show up from beginning to end, which is what I like about your podcast review show is that you kind of take people through a lot of those things. And I thought, man, just for our show especially, Dave, that has so many holes, but we plug those with a lot of duct tape and make our show work in a way that fits us. And then I read this book and you see how much attention these morning shows pay to how they set their show up. I think it's good for us as podcasters to kind of learn from that.
What stood out from this book when you kind of were going through the, like, wow, this really applies to podcasting?
I thought the biggest thing that applied to me was how big chemistry played in the role of, you know, the first third of this book talks about GMA finally catching up with and passing the Today Show. And for the people that aren't familiar with morning TV, the Today Show had this monster run of about 590 weeks in a row, tons of years in a row, where they beat Good Morning America every single week. And the last several years, GMA started to catch up. They were mad on their heels. And the book goes through how they did that. And I thought that there were a lot of lessons for us as podcasters about how GMA stole the audience. And certainly in podcasting, I feel like we're much more of a community. I'm not as worried about stealing somebody else's audience, Dave, right, as I am about just attracting and keeping a listener. Because, you know, somebody discovers me on iTunes or on Stitcher or wherever, and they give me a shot. And like you said in the past, hey, give me 3 episodes. But people don't do that. They give me 15 minutes and they decide if they like me or not.
That's it.
By constructing their show better, GMA was able to take the Today Show's viewers and ultimately pass them and become the number one show in the land.
Yeah, and so if you're thinking of starting a podcast and you have a couple people in mind, if you're going to do the co-host thing, and keep in mind, the good news about having a co-host is you have, you know, more than one set of eyes getting information and content for your show. The bad side of that is you now have a schedule that you have to get in synchronized with, and the more hosts you add, the more synchronization it takes. I know that's one of the things we're running into with the podcast review show. Poor Ann Curry in this book just sounds like she just, I think she was on for less than a year after being kind of a contributor to the show. And she just got on the couch and apparently was just a little stiff. What did you think was the reason the Today Show eventually lost? Because they were blaming Ann. And then once she left, it really didn't fix things. So
I thought that people really buy the hosts, and mm-hmm. nobody bought Matt Lauer and Ann Curry together. They just didn't buy them together. Ann Curry had, she would fumble when she'd go to pass the ball, as they call it, back to Matt Lauer.
Right.
And Matt would then kind of give her a look like, whoa, what are you talking about? And because they fumbled together, that chemistry wasn't there. And just as an aside, a mentor of mine, Dave, gave me some feedback that I should do a survey of my audience. And I did that about 4 months ago.
Okay, gonna bust in here. When in doubt, ask your audience. Love it.
I ask people why they listen to our show. And we have about 8 or 9 people on every single episode that we do of Stacking Benjamins. 2/3 of the people said they listen because of OG and I. They listen because of the relationship with me and my co-host. In fact, it was funny. The second biggest reason was a second group of contributors we have called the Roundtable. And the third biggest reason out of all these reasons was actually the guest that we have on. And I think people think, well, if I get the ultimate guest, it's going to be great. I think people buy you first, and that's what they weren't buying with today.
Yeah. Now, how did you pick your co-host?
When I hosted a radio program in Detroit for a while, when I didn't have a guest one week, I knew that he was available on this Saturday morning. So I called him up, and he was great radio. And so when I was looking for a co-host, I said, hey, OG, we call him OG as the other guy because he's a working CFP and doesn't want to go through all the levels of compliance. He was a guy that was always good radio. And he and I together, for whatever reason, we always got along great. We had fantastic chemistry. And so when we decided to create Stacking Benjamins, or the show before Stacking Benjamins, we did together to kind of get our feet wet. I said, hey, OG, you want to do this with me? And he said, absolutely.
So you actually had a podcast before Stacking Benjamins.
We actually had two, Dave. It's funny. We knew we didn't know anything. We both knew how to talk on the mic. I had done lots of media. He had been my guest. So we'd done that together, but we knew zero about equipment. We knew nothing about Libsyn, hosting, marketing. We didn't know anything. So the first show we created was a show called The Worst of the Free Financial Advisor, which is the name of one of our websites. And we called it The Worst because we thought it was going to stink. And we set off to make 13 episodes because we thought it was funny to end on a horrible number like 13.
Right.
And then we would launch our real show. So we did 13 episodes of The Worst of the Free Financial Advisor. Then we created what we thought was the main show called Two Guys in Your Money. We did about 65 episodes of Two Guys in Your Money and realized that we still had gotten it wrong. I mean, we really screwed up everything.
Well,
and then we
was wrong?
Well, number one, we didn't play the iTunes game. I didn't realize how important those first several weeks on iTunes were and how to use iTunes to preload your audience. Mm-hmm. So the first week of Stacking Benjamins, we had three episodes instead of our normal one a week that we were doing at the time. That gave us much bigger numbers. We also made sure that everybody that we knew who had listened to Two Guys in Your Money gave us a review. And we still don't have a ton of reviews. As we record this, we have 50 reviews, which I still don't think is near enough reviews. But, you know, positive press, positive reviews, getting the community out there that you know to help you, those were things we didn't do. So we didn't market the show right. We also had a fairly generic name, Two Guys in Your Money. That's an okay name, but I think Stacking Benjamins, our show's so goofy and light, and it is much more like Good Morning America in this book. Our segments are very short. We get people enough. We want them coming back next week, so we don't give them too much. So we try to make the segments crisp and light and get on to the next thing. We're clearly, our show's about entertainment. So Stacking Benjamins was a better name than Two Guys in Your Money.
So the thing I love about that story, they didn't quit. Okay, we did this first one. Oh, this is awful. All right, let's try this again. All right, we're closer. Not quite. The passion again kicks in. They come up, they land on Stacking Benjamins. And for me, I would go, do people in the UK understand what a Benjamin is? I don't know. Well, I know in your email you had mentioned that in the book it talks about how Good Morning America, and because we're Americans, of course, we can't have any long name. We have to shorten that down to GMA. You had mentioned that they seem to make their segments a little snappier. What would you define as snappy? Like, what's the opposite of snappy?
Well, snappy for me, to answer your question directly, is we get right to the point. We know that I hear a lot of shows that build rapport at the top of the show, right? Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time talking about, you know, maybe one show I listen to that I like a lot, Listen Money Matters. They talk about what they're drinking at the top of the show, or a show that you reviewed recently on the podcast review show. They talked about what the weather was like that day.
Right.
We try not to do any of that. We get right into the meat, full well knowing that we're going to have a few squirrel ADD moments.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, isn't that what this is, where I pop in? It's a squirrel moment. Let's go back to that original clip. Your customer, your listener, at first, when they listen the first time, they don't care about you. Now, they will later, but when they show up for that first listen, they don't care about you. So when you spend, I don't know, 5, 10, 40 minutes talking about just you, that has no call to action for them, that has nothing to do with them, I don't know they're going to be back. Where here, Joe's talking about short and snappy. The thing I love about short podcasts is if they stink, I'm only out 5 minutes. So love it. I love the fact that he's saying, because he said, we heard, the reason people listen is because of them. That's after they've gone through, you've brought them in with your content, and then you keep them with the chemistry and the relationship that you build with them later.
Where we build rapport, but we try to build those along the way. We know that people are there for a reason. They want to be entertained, but they want to be entertained about the subject matter that we come with, which is earn, save, and spend with a plan.
Exactly. I came here to learn how to save money. And Joe realizes that, and that's what he gets to. And then once you give them that, they're like, wow, I'm going to tune back into that through time and through maybe, I always say, if you can use a story from your life to talk about your topic. So if I'm Joe and I can explain how I pulled myself out of debt, then we're all about that. So now I'm learning about Joe while I'm learning about saving money. Bingo, Yahtzee, Booyah, whatever you want to name here, jackpot.
And so we try to get on that right away or fairly quickly. There was a rule that I learned in TV and in just media training, which was whenever you talk, and I'm violating this right now with this long explanation, it's light a match. And when that match, that imaginary match hits your fingers, stop talking and throw it to the other guy.
I like that idea. The interesting thing about this was today was so just cocky. They actually said at one point, our streak will never be beaten because it hadn't been beaten in years. And they really just, they just kept doing what they were doing, and they swapped out a host here and there, and they just thought they were going to go on forever. And then Good Morning America brings in a guy who's not a news guy, and his name was David Hartman. Why do you think David Hartman made an impression, I guess, in this case?
I thought David Hartman, and I love this part of the book, was he, number one, dumbed down the language, which appalled everybody in news, right? Because instead of using the technical terms that a proper news person would use, he would ask questions the way that the audience would ask questions. And Dave Hartman, back in the 80s, put himself in the seat of his viewer when he was interviewing people. So instead of asking the questions that people thought that he should be asking, you know, the proper news people thought he should be asking, right, he would always ask the questions that he knew his audience wanted to know.
Yeah, love him or hate him, that's one of the things Howard Stern has always said about his interviews. And when I've read books about him and such, he said he always tries to ask the questions that his audience would ask. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people say he's a really good, you know, whether or not you like his show or not, when he actually interviews somebody, that he's actually a really good interview. And that's really the key to it. And it kind of goes back to what we've been talking about on this show for a while, which is understanding your audience. I did the episode about editing, and I said you should edit through the ears of your audience. And that's basically what Good Morning America was doing. They were starting to talk in the way that the audience, you know, wanted to hear it. They didn't want to hear these fancy schmancy kind of questions, and that this guy just talked like a normal guy. And to me, bringing it back to podcasting, when podcasting first came on board, we love the fact that people talk like, for lack of a better phrase, normal people. And I think really that's what David Hartman did. He very much brought the, you know, I'm just like you guys kind of ability to TV. And I think that's one of the things that really made a difference.
I love that. And I also love what you said about Howard Stern, because I frankly don't like Howard. I'll go on record here and say I don't like Howard Stern at all. Mm-hmm. I don't like a lot of the potty humor. Howard Stern has this way of, I heard him interview Billy Joel, and the things Billy Joel told him, just because of the way that Howard Stern asked questions, mm-hmm, was phenomenal. And when he interviewed Roger Daltrey, once again, I'm not a huge Who fan. I like the Who, but not a huge fan. And stuff that I didn't really care about, Dave, stuff like who got credit for the music. And it turned out that Pete Townsend actually owned all the music that they wrote and was kind of a jerk about it. So Roger Daltrey singing all these songs, And Pete Townsend's getting 2/3 of the revenue. He's getting part of the revenue as a band member, that he's getting a huge chunk of it because he actually owns the music and the other guys in the band aren't. Before that show, I would have told you, I don't care about that. But the way Howard Stern was able to bring that up and get that out of him was just made it an interview I couldn't stop listening to.
Poor CBS through this whole thing is in third place. And as far as I know, they're still in third place. And they've renamed their show and they've brought in new things. They bring in new producers and things like that. But they eventually did kind of say, okay, this is what we're going to stand for. And I'll let you describe what CBS has kind of done with their show.
Well, CBS, the CBS thing all started off with another show called Morning Joe, which is on MSNBC.
Yeah.
And regardless of your politics, MSNBC was able to create this thing that's different than anybody else had on TV. And people in media, once again, regardless of political stuff, had never seen this before. You have a guy who's a Republican, Joe Scarborough, on a Democrat network, MSNBC, and he has this morning show where he pairs himself with a woman who's very much a Democrat, so Republican and a Democrat, and instead of going shorter and snappier like GMA did, he decides to go the opposite direction. He's going to have these really long segments where people that are used to only getting 2 or 3 minutes on GMA or on Today, they're now going to get 20 minutes, and they're going to really talk through the topic. And because of that, he was able to grow Morning Joe into something that most analysts still say is a very revolutionary show, whether you like the politics or not. So CBS this morning, when CBS decided to redo their morning show, which was, as you said, awful, they stole the Morning Joe producer and they created a show that is very much like Morning Joe. Longer segments, no weatherman. They were going to go out and do, Dave, their own thing. You know, they were watching what the other shows did, but instead of doing what Today was doing, which was trying to be more like GMA to reignite the competition, they were trying to out GMA at being GMA. The CBS said, we're just going to do our own thing. We're going to be ourselves. And what was cool about that is that, like you said, they're still in third place, but I was looking just yesterday on the rankings, and CBS this morning again, for I believe the fifth month in a row, has grown the fastest of any of the three morning shows. And it's because I don't think they're that worried about the other shows. They're doing what they do and they're doing it well.
Okay, I want to stop that here. First of all, I want to make one point. For all my listeners in the UK and other parts of the world, I apologize. We're talking about American television, but I'm sure I remember the big breakfast, wake up with a big breakfast. And there was Kelly, whatever her name was, some hot brunette was on the big breakfast when I was in the UK one time. So my apologies for being so American specific on that. The thing I love about this is there are times, can we peel back the curtain a little bit here? I know there are times when you look at people in your genre, come on, you know you do. And you go, how is that podcast more popular than mine? Come on, you know you do. Realize that those people that get to the top of the mountain, in some cases, will be like the Today Show, and they'll stop doing show prep. They'll stop because everybody just listens to me. That's all right. You focus on what you do right. You do your show prep, and you keep chugging at it. And I have absolute faith in podcast listeners that the cream will rise to the top. It's not going to happen overnight. We heard about the Today Show, whatever it was, 519 weeks, something ridiculous like that, streak of being at number one. But they did fall because they lost sight of their audience. They kept doing it the way they've always been doing it. And in the process, one of the things that really hurt the Today Show was they simply tried to, as Joe said, out Good Morning America, Good Morning America. You can't outdo the original. You can't be, you can try, let's say I'm trying to be Joe. Well, I can do everything I can to be Joe and be snappy and fun and cool. But in the end, I'm not Joe. No matter how hard I try, I'm not going to out Joe being Joe. There are so many podcasts right now, and I've talked about this in the past. You know, it seems like every other week we talk about John Lee Dumas because he's had such an influence. But it's hilarious because I keep getting asked by people, and I'll go on their show. I don't care. But they say, yeah, I'm like John Lee Dumas, or I'm not like John Lee Dumas, but I want to do a entrepreneur show that's 5 days a week. And I ask the same questions every week. And I'm like, they're taking John's recipe, but they're not doing anything different. And it's kind of interesting when I see that. I'm like, they need to do the CBS morning trick. You're not going to out John Lee Dumas, John Lee Dumas, straight up. Have you seen any of that with like the financial world and in your world that is there a lot of, for lack of a better phrase, inbreeding going on?
No, there really is. I mean, I look at the shows that we, once again, I'm going to say compete against, mm-hmm. because that's a vernacular we use, Dave, but sure. I don't think of it, once again, as competing. But I look at the shows that people that are attracted to my show would also listen to, right? And I'll give you an example. On the business side of our show, because our show has a little bit of a business element, it's always a piece of finance, Michael Hyatt, and I love Michael Hyatt, mm-hmm. this is not a rip on Michael Hyatt. Michael Hyatt around New Year's was on three different shows. Mm-hmm. He was on Pat Flynn's show, Smart Passive Income. He was on Amy Porterfield's show, her Facebook marketing show. I'm sorry, Amy, I don't remember the name. And then he was also on Jamie Tardy's show, The Eventual Millionaire. And he said very close to the same thing on all three of those shows. And I thought, if I'm any of those three shows, why do I want to have Michael Hyatt on in the same 2 week period that are on these other two shows? So I really don't want to have the same guest everybody else has. And our podcast certainly is not the end all be all with podcasts, but that's why we looked for a guy like Don Hahn, who's the Disney producer who produced the new movie Maleficent, because he had a great book.
That's a Skype
book. Financial planning. People don't think creatively enough about what their goals are and how to reach their goals.
That, just for the record, that was Skype hiccuping. If you've ever wondered what that sounded like, in fact, let's play that again. So if you wonder, like, why does Joe just cut out? This is what it sounds like when Skype has a bad day.
Who's the Disney producer who produced the new movie Maleficent, because he had a great book. In financial planning, people don't think creatively enough about what their goals are and how to reach their goals. So we brought Don Hahn on. We brought Ed Bolian on, the guy that broke the Cannonball Run record. He drove a car illegally from New York City to Los Angeles in 28 hours and 14 minutes. And just to talk about the planning that went through, because he didn't one day wake up and say, hey, I want to drive from New York to LA. You know, I try to attack it from someplace different just because I don't want that, to use your word, I don't want to use the inbreeding. I don't want to have somebody on that's been on everybody else's show. I want to kind of surprise my audience and also entertain myself. And really, that's the big thing. It's more entertaining for me to go out and find somebody who's quirky and different. You know, I'm just trying to entertain myself and bring an audience along with me.
Well, if it doesn't excite you, it's surely that's going to come across in the episode.
Well, and part of the thing I think, Dave, is it's just like in the case of the Today Show, like you said, they got a little cocky, and not that we get cocky, but I think we do get lazy sometimes, right? Somebody calls us and says, "Hey, I could get so and so on for you," and you know they've been on X show before, or I'm busy listening to somebody's show while I'm running, and I'm like, "Oh, I'll just have them on my show, and I'll ask them the same questions they did," and that means less show prep for me. It means a quicker turnaround for me on that episode, and I think that, I don't know, if I want to have a good podcast, I got to challenge myself to go dig in other areas, but also to do that, we have to keep in mind what everybody else is doing. One mistake I realize that I make often, but when I read this book, is that I don't listen to other shows in my niche because of the fact that I'm trying so much to be different. I don't listen to them enough. I don't pay enough attention to what everybody else is doing. And I really needed to, you know, like I've told you in the past while we were setting up this interview, you were listening to things on 2x speed and 1.5x speed. I can't stand that, but I realized I kind of have to do it so I can get through more stuff, so I know what everybody's doing, so I know how the landscape works, so I know how to continue to position my show the way I want it, which is different and snappy and fun.
Yeah, I do to a certain extent. I listen to, I think, just about every podcast on podcasting. But on the other hand, I've had other shows that I've listened to, and if they really, in some cases, they upset me. I don't like I really disagree with a host of what they're saying, or I don't think they stay on topic, and I just like, this is awful. At times, I finally just started thinning the herd because I was like, this isn't really doing anything or my show any kind of favors. So I was like, all that does is make me upset. And I just like, all right, I'll tune those out. So yeah, going back to the Epic Content Marketing book, if I walk away, if I give you an hour of my time and you didn't make me laugh, cry, think, or educate me in some way, and you do it again and again because you're just talking about you, I'm done.
But what they did, Dave, at the TV station was they had them on, but they had the sound down. And what I found that I had to start doing after I read this book was I played at 2x speed. I'd be doing something else, and every once in a while it would catch my ear, you know, what they were talking about. But normally, I've got shows like that too, where I'm like, oh man, it's time to listen to X show again, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah. So what were some of your main takeaways from the book as we now bring it back to podcasting?
Well, my biggest one was definitely what we led off with, which is that chemistry is everything. Chemistry between you and your contributors, chemistry between you and your show host, your guest, that is ever, people are buying the chemistry of the show. And then secondly, I think, Dave, people want to know who you are. They don't want to, they want to know who your guest is. That's fine. They're going to show up one time for your guest, right? If I have X, we just had a guest on, Rick Edelman, who's a big advisor. And so he had a lot of downloads. So I was going to get people because I had Rick Edelman on, but I need them to stay around for the next person who's not Rick Edelman. And the only way to do that is to introduce them to me and our team of characters in a way that makes them want to stay. So chemistry, and then deciding what you are. For us, it's snappier and happier and staying short. You know, if our segments are short and crisp and we're on to the next thing, that fits who I am and who OG is and our format. For you, it might be we're able to explore the depths of this guest better than anybody else, and I know that about me. So I'm going to have these longer interviews that other people don't have because that's how I win and how people get to know who I am. I think another thing there is when a guest brings up something that you agree with, doing a strategy that I hear you use, and you may even do it, Dave. I don't know if you do it purposefully or if you do it unconsciously, but one thing I love that you do is you talk about your experience with whatever the guest brings up. So even during this interview, I bring something up and you don't override me. You don't downgrade me. You just say, well, my experience with that is X. And then as a listener, I get to know the guest. Like people might be learning who I am today, but they are reaffirmed that you are the guy that they like to listen to, and they're going to come back next time for more.
Well, I actually try not to do that as much because sometimes that's annoying because it's like, well, you have a guest on here. Let them talk, Dave. In this case, I'm just trying to say, oh, you know what? I agree with that. Here's what I saw, or here's what I saw. Here's my example, or things like that. And you will hear, Joe, when you hear the finished copy of this, I'll probably cut a lot of me out. I usually do because I don't want to be a mic hog by any means. So,
yeah, but I love the people that are on your show. I love the people on your show, but the reason I come back to this and not to, you know, kiss up to you because I'm on your show, but it's because of you. I come back because of the relationship you have with people and because it's a discussion, you know. Yeah. I feel like I'm a third person sitting at that table, and if I'm a successful podcaster, hopefully that's what I'm doing for my audience, is they're sitting right next to me. I'm asking the questions they want to know from the guest. I'm bringing the guest out, but at the same time, they're sitting next to me going, yeah, this guy is my fill, and he's asking all the questions I wanted to ask. And I really like hanging out with this guy every week, you know, or in our case, three times a week.
You do. That was going to ask you, how often do you produce Stacking Benjamins?
Well, we have a Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday show now. It started off as once a week. We went to a Monday show and a Friday show, and there was actually strategic reason for that, that if you want to, we can get into. Sure. But then we went into Monday, Wednesday, Friday, because after listening to John Lee Dumas doing it, to bring up John Lee Dumas, right, I thought if he can make a show 5 days a week, I can step up and make what I think of as 2.5 shows a week. And already I'm getting from my guests that they don't like my Friday show as much because on Friday we have just one guest. It's one 20-minute show.
And I'm going to pause him here. So he's talking about that. He's changing his format a little bit, and his audience is saying, what the heck? So if you're worried about trying things, your audience will let you know. I know, I'll give a little quick plug in here to my buddy Daniel J. Lewis. Go over to mypodcastreviews.com. And I had not checked my reviews for the Logical Weight Loss podcast, and I was just getting reamed. So your audience will let you know. And of course, they do email you as well. And I always appreciate any kind of feedback. But here, you can hear where Joe is A, asking for feedback. He asked about that at the beginning. And you can see that in some cases, he's getting feedback saying, not really crazy about that. So he said, on the one day of the week where he's normally short and snappy, he started doing 20-minute interviews.
Versus the magazine we have on Monday and Wednesday. And you can clearly see it in our downloads that the people that listen to our show love the Monday, they love the Wednesday, they tolerate the Friday. We got to a point where the feedback I was getting was that people love the show, but a friend of mine said I was sitting too much at the nerd table. And which I'm fine with because I'm a huge nerd, as right, I've already explained, but I was sitting too much in a spot where I had this little community, but as this friend of mine, and I think we all need one of these, Dave, a guy who's like Gordon Ramsay, who, you know, the chef who just rips everything. This right, guy, after every episode, I'm very lucky to have him. He and I talk after almost every episode, and he rips the heck out of my show. I know he loves me. I know he loves our show. But he basically said, your show is bigger than this little group of people. And I know you're trying to build this community, but I think you could get bigger guests. I think you could get people that are more nationally prominent. So I created the Friday show to interview people with good ideas who don't have a big name yet. People that you know, almost like David Letterman brings on a band that you've never heard of and you really like.
Right.
I try to, on my Friday show, bring on somebody with an awesome idea. Kaylee Hawk, a blogger, as an example, an up-and-coming blogger, had this great idea for a go-to-hell fund. And every time she got mad at her boss, she would just put money in this jar. So one day she'll be able to tell her boss to go to hell. And I thought that was phenomenal. Nobody knows who Kaylee is, but that's an idea that needs to be there. So the Friday show was created so I could still have it be a community show, but also try to attract some more national, you know, national and outside the little nerd table content.
And I'm going to jump in here again. If Joe really likes that episode and his audience says, I'm not digging this, I like the short and snappy, Joe could always take those interviews and start like stacking Benjamin's extended. And for those people who like the extended podcast, you know, the extended interviews, they could subscribe to just that and he could take them out of the original show. He could still do it and just put it out as a separate podcast. So it's just the beauty of podcasting, I always say, we've heard in this interview, you know, focus on your audience, look at what you want to do, embrace you being you, because you're not going to outdo the other people being them. And when in doubt, listen to your audience and don't be afraid to try things and then listen for feedback. So this is cool that you are, you know, you're getting your community involved. And it sounds like you actually bring them on your show. How do you decide? Because everybody might think they should be on your show. How do you determine who comes on and maybe who doesn't?
For the community voices, that was tough because we have this segment called the Roundtable. Mm-hmm. And on our Roundtable, I need to make sure that they're going to gel. They don't need to agree. In fact, I prefer that they disagree, but I need them to gel with the people that are on the show. And I also need to make sure that they're decent radio. And in the early days, I would not make sure somebody was good radio. And when you've got to coax everything out of somebody just right, to have them participate, they kind of don't get the format. I can't figure out why. You're on a podcast, please talk. You know. So I want to make sure I have somebody who is talkative and a little vivacious and is going to be able to do what we try to do in any radio, which is, you know, paint pictures, tell stories. So I look for people that tell stories. I have a Twitter feed that is, you know, I use Twitter lists and I go and I put as many bloggers on the list that I think are pretty entertaining. Whenever I hear a new voice, I try to put them on that list. And then as they're marketing their stuff on Twitter, I try to look at that as often as possible to read at least, you know, preview as many of those topics as I can. That's for the community people. For the national people, I want them to be different. And I also want to push myself to go after people that I don't think I can get. So right now, I'll tell you, I'm trying to get Timothy Geithner, the old Treasury Secretary, to be on my show. And I don't think I'm going to get him. But I'll tell you, I didn't think I was going to get Don Hahn, the Disney producer.
Right.
I mean, this guy is, you know, he's on my show talking about Angelina Jolie. And it's surreal to me that he's on my show talking to little me. And he said yes. So I decided I need to put it out there. And when I've talked to other podcasters about what they do, they always tell me that they're afraid to ask some of these people like a Don Hahn or like a Timothy Geithner. I'm going to throw it out there. And surprisingly, I'm amazed, Dave, by how often they say yes.
There you go. Absolutely. All they can do is say no. And the other thing I want to point out here, as we're just getting to know Joe, he is on episode 77. Of Stacking Benjamins. Plus, he's had a few in the past. So I'm just saying this to you that I don't know if I would go after the big fish right out of the gate because you're still kind of learning how to interview if you're doing an interview show. And obviously, if you're asking for guests, I guess you are. But, you know, I wouldn't do this right out of the gate. But once you get your feet wet and you're kind of used to interviewing people, by all means, I've only had one person ever refused to come on my show, and that's because he was having a kid, and that was Pat Flynn. I should ask him again, you know, but he was having let's see, what was his second kid, the boy or the girl? I know he has one each. It was his daughter was getting ready to be born. He's like, look, I just can't. So maybe I need to ask him again now that He's got the smart podcast player app. Maybe he'll come on the show. Sure. I mean, all they can say is no, and you go, okay. And then you try back in a couple years or who knows when, and you never know. They might say yes. Awesome. Well, that's great to hear. Anytime you hear Seth Godin on a podcast, I guarantee you he's got a book that he just published.
Right.
So that's, you know, get them when they're pimping something. And since we're kind of throwing out tips, if you're looking to review stuff, it's a tricky little dance you got to do, but don't send an email to the sales department because they want to sell you the product. What you want to do is try to find the marketing people because their job is to get the word out.
Also, I have formed relationships because I try to, when I found out that someone was with a PR firm, I try to latch onto those people and be entertaining and quick and great to work with those people. And I thank them profusely whenever they help me make things easy for the guest, because I've had PR firm people that have other clients who then contact me about guests. And instead of me going out and begging, I, you know, more now than a year ago when Stacking Benjamins started, I now get to say, yeah, no, yeah. And now I feel like I have 7 or 8 agents out there who know the type of guests that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the straightforward person. I'm looking for somebody a little bit different, has a little different story. And I'd love to have that person on. And I feel like I've got these filters that make my job a little easier.
How do you say no without sounding like a jerk?
I just try to remind them what our show's about. I'd say, you know what? I don't think that our show is the best fit, but I have this friend and I will try to give them another show. I will try to introduce them to a friend of mine who it fits better so that I'm not just a dead end.
I always tell people, if you can explain to people how they're going to benefit, they're usually not going to argue with you. So if you can say, you know, it'd be nice to have you on your show, on my show, but actually I think you're better fit for here because you fit better and their audience is going to love your stuff more than my audience would. And most people are like, oh, okay, well, thank you for not wasting my time.
Well, and you as a coach for a long time and me as a listener for a long time, I haven't been a podcaster for a hell of a long time, but I've been a listener for a long time. You hear shows lose their way. And I feel like it's, and I'm starting to learn now as a guy doing a podcast, I'm getting more and more requests for interviews. I feel like I can't be beholden to anybody but my listener. I have to make sure that I'm serving my listener and my show first.
I got to pop in there. I want to put that on a bumper sticker. I am beholden to my listener first. It's all about the listener. It's not about you. It's not about you. We heard that at the very beginning, right? Nobody cares about you when they first listen. It's about your listener. Amen, Brother Joe. Preach on.
And I think getting back to this book we were talking about, that's what GMA did. You know, they stayed true to what they were trying to be as a show. And they said, if it doesn't fit these parameters, I'm going to have to very politely say, no, thank you.
Yeah, that's it. And they matched their language to be the same as their audience. So they connected better. And the whole time, the Today Show, I think they focused more on Good Morning America than they did focused on their audience. And so it's like you said, they tried to out Good Morning America, Good Morning America. And in the end, you just end up being a cheap imitation and it's not authentic. It's not legitimate and it's forced. So they were trying to look like they were having fun. Where on Good Morning America, they actually liked each other and hung out and they were friends. And I think audiences saw through that, and which goes back to authentic chemistry. So
They mentioned that at one point in the book that it got so bad at the Today Show that they brought in a firm to work with them. And they gave everybody these interviews. They interviewed everybody on the Today Show staff. And they said the awkward thing was not one person they interviewed mentioned the viewer. They all mentioned the show structure, the things they didn't like about the show, each other. But not one person mentioned the end viewer, which was really sad.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you so much, number one, for emailing me because I did like the book. And that to me just says, see, people, birds of a feather are going to flock together. So I'm very glad that you sent that to me and said, hey, you might want to check this out. I thank you so much for coming on the show. And everybody go over to stackingbenjamins.com and any words of wisdom for a new podcaster, maybe we'll leave with that typical kind of question.
Yeah. My one piece of advice is, although you want to look at your stats, look more at your audience and get in tune with your audience as quickly as possible, because, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a small podcast or a big podcast. People, when they like things, they tell people. If they don't like things, they don't tell people. And the one thing that will help you grow your show is people telling people how awesome you are.
Well, Joe, thanks so much, man.
Thanks. You have helped me a ton, Dave. So I'm very happy to help this awesome community you've built.
StackingBenjamins.com. Let me turn my bass back up. There we go. So I get out of the commentary mode. But man, good stuff. And I got to tell you, I'm so blessed. I'm so lucky. We had Christopher from Trek.fm on last week, kind of giving his insights from a magazine standpoint. We got Joe's standpoint from kind of the daytime television and just good content in general. And what I've done now, because I've had a few people ask, can I come on your show? And I just say, give me your five, if you have five, like top points that you think my audience needs to hear. And in some cases, it's like, they're not really interested in that. And it is about guarding. For me, it's about guarding you. The last thing I want to do is put garbage in your, not garbage. I don't want to put things that you leave here going, well, that's an hour and 4 minutes I can't get back. I never, ever, ever want you to do that. So we mentioned a lot of things in this episode. So if you go out to schoolofpodcasting.com/413, then you can see everything that we talked about. I have links to Joe's show. I have links to John Biscal. I realized I didn't answer any questions today in today's show. And I just, to me, with the combination of the podcast rewind and with this interview, I just thought, you know what? This is a good episode and I don't want to make it a super marathon show. We're already kind of running long and I hope you enjoyed it. If you're looking to start a podcast again, visit me out at schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code LISTENER, LASTENER. Also want to mention, and really this will be the call to action for this show. If you're looking to get your podcast reviewed, Joe talked about the podcast review show. You've only got two more weeks. We're doing a sale here in June. If you use the coupon code SOP50 at the podcast review show, you can get 50% off a podcast review. And we go through and we look at your content. We look at your website. We look at your audio file and we actually bring you on the show. Now, typically we record these Thursday night, Eastern Standard Time, somewhere after like 8:30. So if you're not available within, okay, but we might have to do the show without you if we can't really connect with you on a schedule. But if you're looking to get somebody who's not named Mom to listen to your show, that is an easy way to get some feedback on your show. And so check that out again, podcastreviewshow.com/review me. Use the coupon code SOP50. And I want to thank Joe again. You can find him at stackingbenjamins.com. I want to thank John Biscal from jontusmedia.com. And I want to thank you. I really do. I'm in a really good mood today. I'm very excited to talk to you. I just feel, I don't know. I'm just glad you're listening. I can't express that enough. And since we are talking about a guy with financial things here, I want to thank you because of people that do sign up for the School of Podcast and because of people that do sign up as a patron of my show. If you don't want to be a member of the School of Podcasting, you can actually sign up for my Patreon account. And I just put out a video that showed how I do Ask the Podcast Coach. So if you want to know how I do my live stuff, I'll put a link to that again out at schoolofpodcasting.com/413. And I just want to thank you guys because you are helping me. You know, I've got, last time I checked, I think it was still $24,000 worth of student loans that I got to pay off and things like that. But I am going to, you know what? I'm not going to tell you about my new office. Because you know what? Who cares, Dave? I'll talk about that in a future show. But the School of Podcasting is going to be moving its physical location here in a few weeks. And so I'll tell you more about that. But it'll be at the very end of the show. So thanks so much for listening. And let me remind you, it is time to live a life worth podcasting about. And I hope to see you on the inside at the School of Podcasting. So until next week with another episode. In the future, we're going to be talking with Scott Johnson about how he's using podcasting for his business. We're going to be talking with Ben Kruger. And I got a couple episodes where it's just going to be me and you. Because I kind of miss our time. I mean, it's nice that Joe was here. I miss the time when it's just me and you. And so we're going to have some of that as well. And thanks for listening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And by that, I mean thank you very much. We'll see you again real soon. Take care. And God bless.